We hear a lot of talk about health care. We spend a lot of money on health care, yet we seem to get so little of either. If you're ready for real science, common sense health from two guys who care, welcome to Have a Heart Health Radio. Here are your hosts, health journalist Bill Sardi and health warrior Dave Stouter.
Welcome, everyone, to Have a Heart Health Radio. Thanks for being with us today. Yours truly, the health warrior Dave Stouter, with me, investigative journalist Bill Sardi. This is our online, highly absorbable, easy-to-assimilate format for our program. We appreciate you being here with us today. We encourage you to share it with your friends. Remember, there are almost 50 shows, Bill, archived at haveaheartradio.com. Now, last week, you had told me, Bill, that we've been getting a lot of requests. People like it when we tell them what we're going to talk about on the show. And we're going to commit to giving you a little menu with just one caveat. We'll do our best to cover everything in the show. We might not get to something. We'll do it in the next show. And, you know, never know what will happen with Bill and I. We might get off on a tangent and cover something new. But, Bill, now one of the things, I'll just start you off with our list. You said you're going to tell us how to scientifically fall in love with anybody?
Oh, I didn't want to start off with that.
No, we don't have to start off with that, but that just seems
true. There is a way. Well, a guy actually addressed this. Let's see. His name was Dr. Arthur Aaron at State University of New York in Stony Brook. And that was in – I'm coughing over this – April 1997. How could you fall in love
scientifically? Okay, what else are we going to do? I understand there's
We'll get back to this. I almost right now. But other stuff we're going to do, you know, and what this is just mentioning in passion.
Right.
Because in passion, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Let's see. We like to take a dig at modern medicine, the first part of the show. Flu vaccine is only 18% effective this year for the H3N2 strain of the flu. According to the Centers for Disease Control, at least they're confessing what the real story is. 71% of Americans say they believe public schools should be allowed to temporarily suspend unvaccinated children from the school when there's a major disease outbreak in the area. Only 17% disagreeing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is useless for us to continue to lob criticism at the over-vaccination of the American public. Regardless of all the articles I've written on the internet and all of the sensible things I've talked about, vaccination rates in school are above 95%. We're having no impact. Americans are afraid, and they're buying into all this, so why should I talk about it? I mean, I just have no idea why I want to frustrate myself. If Americans want to continue to believe that, you know, a measles outbreak, you know, it's a couple of hundred kids, and it probably came from the vaccine itself because the vaccines do spread the disease. They are the disease, and, it had vaccine-induced disease. If you would like to commercially get exposed to all manner of viruses and bacteria, and five of them at one time, have your kids undergo that on a five-in-one vaccine, that's your choice. I'd rather it happen by nature and just naturally my child gets exposed and breaks down with whatever. And if I have him really beefed up with vitamin C and D and zinc and omega-3 fish oil and maybe a little bit of elderberry syrup, he's not going to get the fevers and the rashes and all the other things. And he'll stay at home. He might feel punky, and he'll get through it all. And now he'll have naturally induced antibodies instead of the synthetically induced antibodies, which aren't lasting, and they're finding out that you do need revaccination for all these things as time goes on. So your choice. You can capitulate to the vaccine makers, and if you're giving these things to kids under 2 years old, which they're doing, and that means the metals in there, the aluminum and the mercury that they said isn't there but is there, is going to pass through the blood-brain barrier of very young children because they don't have a adequately developed blood-brain barrier yet, and you're going to supply these toxins to these kids. And so it's because the vaccines don't work, and in order to provoke the antibodies, they have to give what they call adjuvants or toxins, And these are heavy metals. And so if you, this is what you want to do to kids, and you want to do it intentionally, shame on you. Shame on you. But 71% of the people, I mean, it's all over the internet, you know. Your kids should be banned from school and stop exposing my kids to what? We got exposed to all this when I was a kid. Your kids need to be adequately nourished, and they won't experience hearing loss and blindness and all the other problems that come along with the measles and all these other, you know, there's serious bacteria and viruses that you can minimize the immune response and develop the antibodies naturally. So if you want to do it with metal toxins, heavy metals, and then add it to the germs, you go right ahead and subject your kids to that torture. I'm not doing it with mom.
Hey, Bill, is it just me? But I remember, like, when I was growing up and before, like you say, we all had those diseases, and we got over them with very few problems because most of us were pretty nourished. We were outside a lot. We were healthy. Okay, so now, you know, we hear all this hubbub about the anti-vaccine people. Like you say, our country's vaccinated at 95-97%. I've heard different numbers. Well, I don't understand. What's the big deal then? And then I look at the kids. It seems like so many more kids these days have allergies, have immune problems.
I can't believe the number of boys that I know. My son's involved in this with dyslexia. His good friends, they're all being homeschooled. The kids aren't doing well. Speech is slow to develop. Every young child I know that's a male is having problems. And this is where the autism strikes. This is where all these things are. We didn't have this before. And what am I missing, and what are you missing? Something's happening here, and nobody cares, and it's great for business for pediatricians. Maybe you'll catch on someday. Maybe. But don't listen to this show. All I can tell you. So I can't help you. I can't help America. I'm having no impact. Doesn't matter where I say it. And I'm sorry. I don't – you know – try to give you the dope and the real straight poop here about vaccines. If you want to capitulate and be part of the American medical industrial establishment and have all these things thrust upon you, God bless you. I hope you can get through, and your kids, your grandkids will get through without suffering the terrible consequences. Let's move on. That's a rough way of saying it, but it's just the way it is. We're not going to change Americans because they're afraid.
Well, you're right. You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, the California community I'm part of had a debate on whether to bring fluoride into the water. And the fluoride issue, in other words, to bring it into the water, won 80-20. The vote was 80-24. I mean, what are you going to do?
I'll talk about fluoride in just a moment. And I want to bring up something because we try to take these digs at modern medicine. It was Carl Folkers, F-O-L-K-E-R-S, way, way back in 1994, 20 years ago, and he wrote a paper about the usefulness of coenzyme Q10. That's a dietary supplement in health food stores. Your body makes it just a little bit, just enough. It's an antioxidant. You kind of run out of it as you get older. And he took patients with six diagnostic categories with heart disease, three different forms of heart failure, and then hypertension, and then heart valve problems. And he gave them from 75 to 600 milligrams of coenzyme Q10 a day. And let's see, how many patients improved? 58% improved by one class. They classify these as usually by grade 1 all the way to grade 4. So more than half improved by one class, 28% by two grades, and just 1% by three grades. But the startling part of all this is when these patients started, they were on 1 to 5 different cardiac drugs. And then they started on the coenzyme Q10, and 43% of the patients stopped one or even up to three drugs, 43%. And only 6% of the patients taking coenzyme Q10 required the addition of one drug. You know, coenzyme Q10 by itself worked, and most of them didn't need the drugs at all. 1994, Molecular Aspects of Medicine, Supplement 15, pages 165 to 175, 1994. Carl Folkers.
Well, it's only been 20 years, Bill. Let's not rush into this.
Let's not rush into anything like that. So I'm going to talk about macular degeneration real quick. We have so many people who tune in here. It's because our sponsor's product, Longevinix, was found to dramatically help people with macular degeneration. And I want to say that, yes, particularly the wet form macular degeneration is when new blood vessels pop out and invade the visual center of the eye called the macula, and vision is going to be permanently destroyed. And they have drugs. They inject Avastin, Lucentis into the eye with a needle right in the white of the eye, and it causes those blood vessels to recede. You continue to need the injections once a month in order to keep those vessels from destroying your vision. They're pretty effective. About 15% of the time they aren't. And it was Dr. Stuart Richer at the North Chicago Veterans Hospital who used our sponsor's product, Longevinix, for those helpless 15%, and it was effective in most of those patients. So we can't declare it's a drug, treats or cures or prevents disease, but we can tell you the truth. That's what was reported. There's about 11 million Americans, it says, with some form of macular degeneration. It starts out in one eye, so best for you to close one eye at a time and check. Just read words on a page and see if it's fuzzy or, you know, it's not, you know, the lines are wavy or there's a blind spot, because you'll get it in one eye first before you know you have it in the other eye, and you won't notice it because the vision in the good eye crosses over the field of vision of the other. So it helps you to do that. Some people pulling out a gun for springtime, they're going to go deer hunting, and they tend to close one eye when they look down the sight on the rifle. Notice that one eye isn't seeing as well as the other eye. So it's startling. You could catch it early is the whole point. Nutrients that are good for macular degeneration, vitamin C, vitamin D, fish oil, high rich in DHA, magnesium, lutein, the big player that came in 15 years ago or so, L-U-T-E-I-N, very little of it do you get out of the diet. You'll probably need a supplement about 10 or 12 milligrams a day. And these are good nutrients for the eye. And in Europe, they're having tremendous success with melatonin. That's that hormone that we take at bedtime to aid sleep. And what does that tell us? But sleep, darkness, is needed to repair the eye. And if you aren't getting enough sleep, as we get older, we tend not to get enough sleep. We need those hours of sleep to repair the eye, and when we're not getting it. So melatonin seems to help, and that tells us about the importance of sleep overall. So very important. And they've got a report out here. Asians have a poorer response to these medicines they inject in the eye and the protection. And in wet macular degeneration doesn't seem to work as well there. One of the purposes of that, one of the causes of that could be that Asians need more vitamin C. They have a deficiency of something called hepcidin, which controls iron in the body, and therefore the more vitamin C is used up, the iron degrades it, and then they need more vitamin C. And so, and then Asians who smoke also use up more vitamin C. Tobacco causes depletion of vitamin C. And so you tend to notice that people are low in vitamin C, have a lot more macular degeneration. That's smokers. And in particular, Asians have a form of it that's very difficult to deal with. By the way, Longevinix, our sponsor's red wine pill, has become a forgotten natural medicine. We applied to the Food and Drug Administration because thousands of people are needlessly going blind every year. The medicines they use are quite effective, but simply leave about 15% of the patients out. They don't respond well, and they're going to lose their vision permanently. And we applied for compassionate drug use application to start a clinical study to see if we could prove to the FDA that Longevinix could spare these people's vision. And, of course, the FDA turned down our application, said we needed to file a new drug application, spend millions of dollars, and waste another 2 to 3 years to do it. And it's just impossible for a small nutraceutical company to do that. And so here's a headline, February 4, FDA to simplify the compassionate use drug applications. Ha, ha, ha. So, you know, they're in the business of protecting the drug companies, and that's it. Our application was flatly turned down in the face of people going blind and nothing, no other. They've exhausted all their alternatives. There's no other treatment available, and the FDA slammed the door on those people. So shame on them once again. That's just the way that is.
You know, I don't think people can hardly believe that because, as you say, okay, there's 15% of the people that the drugs don't work. Here is a tested for safety. It's been on the market, Longevinex, for 10 years. Dr. Richer had really remarkable results in a small but a good study. So it has a good chance of helping thousands and thousands of people. And all they have to do is try it if you want it. And the FDA says no. That's your FDA, folks. That's the people you're trusting.
The problem for older folks is they want to trust their doctor. He's not going to mention our product if their vision is failing. And it's their only hope. And, you know, it kind of – what the doctors figured out is if Longevinex took the place of their medicine, they'd be cut out of a lot of money, a few billion dollars of income between the drug companies and the eye doctors. So – I'm sorry, but Longevinex went south on that one, and it can't paddle back up river again. So, you know, the patients have their own choice, and they could be calling Longevinex on their own and learning about it and see if it works for them. But they're not going to do it without their doctor recommending. They're not going to do it without Medicare paying. So I guess they're going to lose their vision. You know, it's another one of those disappointing things. I wish we could give Longevinex away, but certainly if we tried, we'd be overwhelmed and out of business. But.
Yeah, you'd be the most popular business for about a month until you were gone. I've often said that I'd love to sell vitamins at the store for free, and I'd be the most popular health food store in the country for about a month, and then I'd be out of business.
One thing before we have a break, there's a little article here, Secrets to Health Benefits of Sunshine, is more than vitamin D, and it's talking about you know, osteoporosis, we need vitamin D for our bones. It helps us utilize calcium and so on. And so they're talking about this, but saying when you give vitamin D pills, it doesn't seem to do the same thing as the sunlight does. Well, wait. Osteoporosis is caused by a lack of hormones.
Yeah, estrogens.
And so you're not going to make up for that by getting vitamin D, which helps you utilize calcium. And it does help make stronger bones. But the primary cause is that women started to, you know, lack estrogen. They didn't produce it from their ovaries. You still produce a little from your adrenal glands, thank God, or women's bones would completely collapse and their mood would decline dramatically. But so there still is some estrogen there. But the point is I urge women to go out and get either the bioidentical hormones or a plant or phytoestrogen, as they call them, P-H-Y-T-O, phytoestrogen. You'll find that in flaxseed meal, the crushed seed, or resveratrol, the red wine molecule, which produces and helps activate osteocalcin, the hormone that says rebuild bone. And so you want to do that kind of like estrogen does. It's a weak estrogen, about 1/7,000th the strength of estrogen. So, you know, I encourage people, and you know, they said here they gave people with low vitamin D levels sunshine, and they were fine. But when they gave them the pills, they didn't get the same response. Well, yeah, I do know. You know, in breast cancer, they found out that women, you know, you make vitamin D right under your skin from sun exposure. And you're going to get vitamin D right in the breast tissue if you go out in sun kind of topless. And so I do tell women, you know, that are covered up and so on, you know, you really need to get out and get some sunshine. Your mood will improve. You'll feel better. You're going to have more vitamin D, which actually is stored in your liver for a few months. If you get enough, it's going to store there for the wintertime, and you should have an extra supply stored in your liver. But, you know, you can get that vitamin D right where it's needed to prevent the breast cancer, but to do it true, keep taking the vitamin D pills, but girls go find a private place to sun and get that breast tissue exposed so it will make vitamin D right where it should be. So just a little tip here.
Before we take a break, Bill, just did they happen to say how much vitamin D they used in the study?
That's another story. I didn't say there, but I'll bet you it was one of those mealy-mouthed, 10 minutes of sunshine dose.
Yeah.
You need about 30 minutes of sunshine in the midday between 10 and 3 p.m., 10 in the morning and 3 p.m. In the summer months, in the winter months, the earth tilted and you're not getting as much UV rays to make vitamin D. So in the winter months, you really do need, and if you're in a northern climate by, Canada, Washington, so on, and even Florida, they found vitamin D deficiency from folks. We cover up. We work indoors. We live indoors. We go out at night. And, you're making that silly, moonshine vitamin D.
Moonshine vitamin D. Hey, look, folks, do yourself a favor. Get out in the sun. There's a lot of benefits of being out in nature that we probably still didn't even understand. But do yourself a very inexpensive favor. Take plenty of vitamin D3. Let's take a break, Bill, and come back and see how much of this menu we can get to. This is Have a Heart Health Radio, folks. Don't go away.
Garlic, there is no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. Call 866-674-3955 now.
If you want your health questions answered on the air by Bill Sardi and Dave Stouter, call toll-free 844-49-HEART. That's 844-494-3278. We want to hear from you. 844-49-HEART. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Have a Heart Health Radio. Bill, just today in the store, somebody came up to me, and somebody who's really conscious of his health, doing a lot of supplements, but has a good doctor. And he was saying, I'm pretty healthy, but I seem to have a little bit of fatty liver. And I'm hearing this more and more and more.
We should hear it more and more. After all, we're consuming all these sugars, these refined sugars, particularly high fructose corn syrup, and we are consuming all those carbohydrates, bread, rice, and pasta. And it's sugar that turns to fat in our liver. Now, I'm writing an article, and I'm just giving you a preview of it, called Allicin Cholesterol Land. And what it's about is this dramatic reversal. We're dethroning the saturated fat and elevated cholesterol phobia of the last four decades. It's being thrown out. We're realizing we went the wrong direction. The establishment of guidelines about dietary fat and cholesterol is being thrown out. These were falsified way back in 1977, 1983. So it's being turned against. Now, remember that food pyramid where at the bottom it says eat a lot of bread, like whole grains?
Yeah, it was the basis of the pyramid.
And pasta, and then you work your way up, and it's that little top end up there that says all those fats and oils. That's the part that should be at the bottom. Okay, that's what they're trying to tell us, okay? And we talked about this in the last show. So there is no connection between high-fat diets and cholesterol and heart disease, mortality, none.
Even Dr. Atkins showed that. A lot of people didn't like him, but he sure, to me, took a big bite out of that fats are bad for you myth.
And in Japan, they've done these studies. They have higher cholesterol levels than we do and far lower heart disease. And they go into this and show it over again. There's a lipid society there, lipids meaning fat. And they just think the whole thing should be turned inside out. Just grab the socks and turn them inside out and reverse the direction we've gone in with cholesterol, because there's no data in Japan. As cholesterol rose, people had far less mortality from any reason, anything, brain disease, heart disease, cancer, you name it. I mean, it just went the other way, and I think I mentioned it in the last show. These Japanese researchers showing that statin drugs you take for cholesterol lower your vitamin K2 level, which leads to calcification and stiffening of your arteries. Statin drugs lead to impaired muscle function because you have less coenzyme Q10. The heart loses its energy and can't pump as hard, and it leads to selenium dysfunction and a poor metabolism. You don't have a key enzyme there, and it leads to heart failure. So the Japanese researchers saying critical reevaluation of statin use drug use of statin drugs is just very important. But in the last decade, what we have is a decade ago we had 1 in 5 American adults on statin drugs, and now we have 1 in 4. It keeps going up. We can't stop the train. Everybody's still fat phobic and cholesterol phobic. And how do we change that overnight? Even the health food stores are still trying to push natural things like red yeast rice and so on that lower cholesterol, which just means your liver makes cholesterol. When it's healthy, it makes plenty of it. And, you know, cholesterol carries antioxidants like vitamin E, lutein, lycopene, beta carotene to your tissues. So too low a cholesterol leads to mental depression, leads to memory problems, leads to more cancer. So in anything under about 140 cholesterol, you're in trouble. And so I'm writing about this, and so I'm trying to talk, okay, we haven't had much impact on this either, you know, in getting people to throw out their statin drugs. But the one thing that I'm bringing up, well, what were we treating? Why were cholesterol levels rising as we get into middle age? This was all studied in the 1930s. One of the greatest biologists of all time, Charles Best, B-E-S-T, discovered all this. He's the discoverer of insulin. He had one other great discovery, and that is that something called fatty liver disease, which 35% of Americans have because we eat too much sugar, too many carbohydrates. Fatty liver disease almost didn't exist in the 1930s all the way up even to the 1950s and up to 1980. And there was a doctor, Zellman. And Dr. Zellman this was 1952. And Dr. Samuel Zellman was looking to study fatty liver disease because he found a medical hospital worker who drank 20 Coca-Colas a day and that provided enough sugar equaling about a pint of whiskey a day. And he set out to study this problem because this was non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. You drink a lot of alcohol and beer and spirits and wine, you're going to get fatty liver. And it's a sugar-like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is he had a hard time finding. This was the pre-fructose corn syrup era. It took him a year and a half to find 20 obese subjects who were not alcoholics and had fatty liver. A year and a half just to find 20. Today you could go out and do it, you know, in one schoolroom. You know, the kids already have. And so he studied this, and later on they found that it was getting more prevalent. Mayo Clinic doctors reported it. And it was Charles Best, along with other researchers, who found out that that disease could be abolished by a single nutrient, one single nutrient called choline. It's in the B vitamin class, C-H-O-L-I-N-E. Choline cures fatty liver disease. It abolishes it. Now, folks, a third of us have fatty liver disease. A lot of us have hepatitis. A lot of us have diabetes. These all develop into they're all involving the liver. metabolic problems, obesity. Almost every obese person is having a fatty liver condition of some kind. So you need to be taking extra choline. Inositol is already also in the B vitamin. These are called lipotropic, meaning lipo, deal with fats in the liver. So it's choline and inositol. You'll find that together in health food stores. David, name a brand or something you have in the store. Choline and inositol come together. Am I correct?
They do. Well, they naturally come together in lecithin.
Okay.
Which you can get in
caps. They do in lecithin, but lecithin is only 10% choline. But I do suggest, yes, lecithin is great.
Yeah, well, they have some concentrated ones. But we have the first thing that pops into my mind, Nature's Life makes a lipotropic factors, and it has all those things, choline, inositol, and carnitine, and things that help the liver with fat.
Okay, so there are things called lipotropics. Now, betaine, B-E-T-A-I-N-E, also.
And that's in there, too.
Okay, is cleaning these things out. Betaine is very acidic and helps you digest foods and metabolize because it's as you produce less stomach acid, and it's usually taken for that reason. But it's also good at cleaning the liver out, and we do mention rice bran IP6 as a nature's great all-time liver cleanser, getting the iron out so that the iron doesn't harden the fats in the liver and store them there. So you don't get fatty liver because it's the iron that oxidizes or hardens the fats there. But the all-time, as proven since 1937, choline cures fatty liver disease. Put it on your list. It's inexpensive to buy. If you want to get sophisticated, get some of those different companies that make a whole complex together. And if you have any kind of liver involvement, from hepatitis on through, if you're obese, if you have issues, by the way, let me encourage you. Choline will help you shape your body differently. How's that? It happened in animals.
Wow.
So you may not lose the weight, but it'll certainly help you. But your body will be shaped away from that pear shape and back into a better shape. So you see folks with these problems. A lot of kids have this these days, and they certainly need the choline. So you see kids with a kind of a tubby middle section, and they need that choline. They already have fatty liver disease from the sugar and so on in their diet. So my report is going to be Alice in Cholesterol Land, and we're going to talk about this discovery of choline. We're going to post it at knowledgeofhealth.com, my website, and that'll be up there within the week. So we thought we'd give you a little tip on what's coming, and of course a tremendous oversight as we are rediscovering the discoverer of choline in the 1930s cures fatty liver disease, which now affects over a third of modern society.
So, that is great advice, Bill. And you're right. Choline safe. It's good for the brain, as a matter of fact, as well, and not expensive. We're going to take a short break here on Have a Heart Health Radio. I understand, Bill, on the menu today that with a couple of things. You still had some very interesting hormone, passion, sexual things to talk about. And also, are we discovering that there is a different reason that people get depressed than we might think? All that and more coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is Health Warrior Dave Stouter, and I'm a huge supplement advocate, but more importantly, I'm a consumer advocate, which is what I had in mind when I created Apple Health Foods. You see, I take a tremendous amount of supplements, and I need them to be authentic and reliable and safe. At Apple Health Foods, we have a large selection of high-quality and hard-to-find dietary supplements and body care that yours truly handpicks to be on our shelf from the best companies in the world. We offer a 20% in-store discount to our senior citizens 60 years or better, our CAP members a $25 annual fee, but we offer that discount to anyone who orders on our website, www.applehealthfoods.net. Apple Health Foods can ship supplements anywhere in the country. There are very few places where you can get such a high degree of confidence and a great discount on supplements. Call 877-APPLE-HF. That's 877-277-5343. 877-277-5343.
A recent study remarkably demonstrated that biological aging can not only be slowed, but reversed, regenerating the production of cellular energy, called adenotriphosphate in muscle tissue, was akin to making a 60-year-old animal 20 years old again, and the effect was produced in just 1 week. This is health journalist Bill Sardi, and modern medicine is racing to develop a pill that will mimic the same youth-restoring effect in humans. A prior animal study showed that Longevinix, an available dietary supplement, works 688% better than plain red wine molecules in this regard. By age 80, only 4% of energy-producing compartments in living cells are functional. No wonder your brain and heart muscles feel punky. What can you do about that? Call 866-405-4000 to find out more about Longevinix. You don't have to become a lab rat to get Longevinix. Go to Longevinix.com or call 866-405-4000.
Don't be shy. Email the show, haveaheart@thebright.com. That's haveaheart@thebright.com. Give us a question, give us a comment. Point is, we want to hear from you. Welcome back, everyone. Have a Heart Health Radio. Bill and I were hoping with this program that you all would be fond of it, that you'd, you know, kind of fall in love with us, that you'd, you know, wait each week to hear a new show and share it with all your friends. So we've tried to be informative, easy to listen to, you know, maybe a little humorous from time to time. But, you know, it's an art. There's no scientific way to get people to just like you or fall in love with you. Or is there, Bill?
There certainly is. It was written about in the New York Times a couple, 3 years ago. And it was a female writer, and she was writing about psychologist Arthur Aaron and his discovery of how strangers could fall in love, never met each other, in his laboratory by going through a list of 36 questions and doing a little exercise right at the end of it. And so this New York Times writer was sharing a little bit of her life. She was in the midst of a breakup with a male partner, and she wondered if this was really true. And what it was about was going through 36 questions, which increasingly dealt with intimacy in our lives, and sharing it with someone of the opposite sex so we could reach that level of intimacy faster and feel a contact and a sharing with somebody and therefore fall in love with them. And so this gal wanted to know if it worked. And so she put it to the test. She was in a collegiate environment, it was college, and she had an acquaintance there, university acquaintance. And she asked him, look, would you try this with me? I just want to see if it works. Okay? So they went through the questions. Now, the odd thing, they were doing this in a bar, not the laboratory. They weren't total strangers. You know, so it was going on with other people watching. And let me give you some of the questions.
Yeah, I'm very curious about the questions.
Okay, given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? That's the way it started. Who would you like to be famous, and in what way? So you're starting to share things about yourself. Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say and why? What would constitute a perfect day for you? When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else? If you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or body of a 30-year-old for the remaining 60 years, which one would you want? Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die? Name three things that you and your partner appear to have in common. For what in your life do you feel most grateful? If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be? The next one gets me. Take 4 minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible. I don't know where I, you know, how many people, you know, you just dribble through that so fast, I'm sure you'd really...
Wouldn't you be embarrassed if it only took you like 2.5 minutes?
Well, I was, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? Now, those were the first 12. And then it gets a little more involved. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, your future, anything else, what would you want to know? Is there something that you've dreamed of doing, and for how long, and why haven't you done it? What's the greatest accomplishment of your life? What do you value most in friendship? What is your most treasured memory and your most terrible memory? What if you knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly? Would you change anything about the way you're now living and why? What does friendship mean to you? What roles do love and affection play in your life? Some of these are really broad. I don't know how you don't get into a speech answering them. How close and warm is your family? And how do you feel about your relationship with your mother? Okay, it's getting a little more involved there. The third set, and this goes on here, complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share blank. If you're going to become a close friend with your partner, please share what would be important for him or her to know. Tell your partner what you would like about them. Be very honest and say things that you might not say to someone you've just met. Share with your partner an embarrassing moment in your life. I could tell you about one at a funeral, but I'll tell it in a future show. When did you last cry in front of another person or by yourself? Tell your partner something that you like about them already. What if anything is too serious to be joked about with you? What if you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone? What would you most regret about not having told someone? And why haven't you told them yet? Okay, your house catches fire. Everything you own is... your house catches fire containing everything you own, and so you've saved your loved ones, you've saved your pets, but you have time to safely dash back in and save one item. What would it be? Nah, come on, not your gold coins. Of all the people in your family, whose death would you find most disturbing and why? And finally, the last of the 36 questions, share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she might handle it. Now, those were the 36 questions. And this couple, they were acquaintances. They went through it, and then they had one last exercise they were asked to do, which was to stare for 4 minutes directly into the eyes of the other person and not to move, not to say anything, just go through the uncomfortableness of it in the beginning and get used to it. So just share, right? Look into the soul of another person for 4 minutes. And they did this. They went out on a bridge and they did this where they could have a little privacy. And you might ask, what happened to them? And as this author writes in the New York Times, yeah, everyone asks us. And yeah, we did get married. And no, she says, we did this. And we credit the study that Dr. Aaron did in 1997. It gave us a way into a relationship that feels deliberate, she said. We spent weeks in the intimate space we created that night waiting to see what it would become, our relationship. Love didn't just happen to us. We were in love because we chose to be. So the point is, okay, I get that. You reach a level of intimacy faster by going through those 36 questions. Now I have criticism of this. Nothing wrong with what was said there. But I think this is just part of the I, me, my generation. You see, we're all selfish. We're all interested in ourselves. How did two people, male and female, how does that all happen? One is on Venus and one is on Earth or Mars, well, that old story.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that work? It doesn't. Unless two people are willing to give up something. Women, I think, have to give up more. Because career or whatever goes on, women are called to give up more freedom, more things. But it isn't going to work if we're not selfless. And it isn't going to work if there isn't a referee. And you better find a bigger referee in your life than trying to argue that you're in a democracy. Marriage is not a democracy. It's going to end up in a Mexican standoff. And then what happens? You need a referee. Now, I can tell you it's God or whatever, but everyone will tell you if you want to stick it out through marriage, and not sticking it out through marriage is worse. You want to give up the economy of marriage and all of the wonderful things that marriage is and walk out and be caught on the rebound and fall in and out of love with three others before you figure yourself out. Marriage is worth it. Don't give it up so easily. But I think one of the problems there is going through these kind of things, reaching a level of emotional intimacy. What if I don't feel intimate today? Am I married? You know, there's a marriage certificate that says I'm married. I am. Whether I feel like it or not, that's a commitment I made. I need to see it through. So I just bring this up because I think this is a curse that's going on throughout modern society today. Men and women walking away from their marriages. It is an entire epidemic that's going on. And we can't fix it with any pill that Dave Stouter and Bill Sardi know about. So I bring it up because it'll bring more stress to your life than you can imagine. If it's already happened to you, then you already know. Now, this is a lead-in for something else. The drug companies are trying to develop and introduce. It's been around for a while because I can go back in the literature here back to 2002. And they're trying to develop a drug, flibanserin. And it's to handle a condition called hypoactive sexual desire disorder, frequently in females. And they just not interested in bedroom activity anymore in midlife. It's hormonal, it's whatever it is. So they got this drug, and they've been trying to get it approved for a number of years. It modestly improves desire among females. And let me see. Desire increased about 38% in women given flibanserin, and only 28% in the women that didn't take it. These were postmenopausal females in one study. And I was getting a kick out of the side effects, which were dizziness, somnolence, you know, feeling sleepy, nausea and headache. Hey, isn't that what the girls are telling me, us guys, all the time, huh?
Well, that doesn't sound so amorous. I'm dizzy, nauseous, and sleepy.
The girls are always saying those things. Well, that's become a little bit of a joke. But I'm headed somewhere here, so keep listening. Because this, and it's difficult. I think a man feels, walled out of the bedroom and so on. Women hear the steps of their husband coming up the stairway at night and wondering, you know, what does he want tonight? So all of these things considered, they don't feel in the mood, and certainly that's an issue. But how does flibanserin work? It increases dopamine, a brain chemical helped for memory and mood, and norepinephrine, which is a hormone, it's a stress hormone, comes out of your adrenal glands. Okay, thank you. Flibanserin's not available. It's not FDA approved yet. But if you'd like to improve your dopamine and norepinephrine levels, you might think about a resveratrol pill. Low dose for the girls that are under menopausal age, haven't had the change of life yet. Very low dose, 25 milligrams. It's because you're taking resveratrol, you may end up a little anemic, get frontal headaches and fatigue. For the ladies that have ceased menstruating, they might think of a little higher dose, like 100 milligrams or even a couple hundred milligrams, of the red wine pill, resveratrol. It's a phytoestrogen. It restores the estrogen signal, not estrogen itself, but it raises levels of dopamine and norepinephrine, just like flabanserin, this drug they're trying to get approved. And this has been shown in the Journal of Psychiatric Research 2013. Here's Journal of Nutrition April 2005. And it's saying that it raises and stimulates these hormones. And so, ladies, you can get testosterone, you know, what they call the transdermal patch on your skin. That's another way to get there. And, ladies, if you get testosterone, now you'll know how us guys feel all the time because we're always interested. and so, you know, you'll see why that goes on amongst males. But so they're trying to get this drug approved. Why does everything have to be a drug? We've got some answers for this, and it looks like resveratrol is very good. Now, I will bring up the fluoride connection. Fluoride, they did give it in an awfully large dose, but fluoride decreases dopamine and norepinephrine. Ladies and gentlemen, did they put fluoride in our water supply as a population control effort so that women would turn away their husbands in the bedroom at night? I just bring it up. It's something we keep wondering about. Resveratrol has an antidepressant effect. It's a wonder, more of alertness and so on. And you don't need to take it at bedtime. You take it in the morning. You'll have that effect as you go on through the day. So I just mentioned it. If you are interested in the miracle of resveratrol and you are missing it, for those folks who listen to this show, the Longevinix capsule is the best tested and certainly the most effective on the marketplace. 6 and 7 times better than other types of resveratrol pills. If you want to find out about it, 866-405-4000, 866-405-4000. You don't have to go through the list of 36 questions to become intimate. And, let hormones or the lack of them destroy one of the important issues in marriage, which is the bedroom. What do they tell you? You know, finances, family squabbles between families, and certainly the bedroom activity. Those are three areas of concern to maintain a marriage. And I think I don't know how many marriages have broken up because men feel walled off in a marriage and go find a younger woman or something. So. Maybe this will help. I can't promise you. I haven't got any studies beyond the ones I've just cited to you. But certainly a resveratrol pill might be called for. If you want the best tested one, 866-405-4000. It's called Longevinix. You can go to the website, Longevinix, like the word longevity, longevinix.com. Find all about it there. They'll send you reports. There's no hustlers there trying to sell you anything. They're happy to answer your questions. If you're calling in off business hours, they're on the Pacific time zone, I certainly leave a message. They'll be happy to call you back, and you can find out more about it. And I think more people, for all the wonderful things we've talked about, resveratrol and what it does, I think that one issue that we just talked about would drive more people to take resveratrol pills than, well, could even be a man.
So. Well, I think you're right in that, Bill. Let's take a break here on Have a Heart Health Radio. You know, I think we covered the menu pretty well, except there's this new study on depression, and I think we should get that before the show ends today. So don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
Garlic, there is no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. Call 866 674-3955 now.
It's time to close the medicine cabinet and open the vitamin shelf. This is Health Warrior Dave Stouter, and I invite all of you iPad and Android owners to download the Vitamin Shelf app. The Vitamin Shelf app normally sells for $1,000, but if you are one of the first 10 million downloads, you'll get a 100% discount. What I mean to say is it's free. The app will keep you in touch with Apple Health Foods. You'll have easy links to our contact info, upcoming events, our Facebook page and Twitter feed, and best of all, mobile access to thevitaminshelf.net. Here, you'll hear years of archives of our San Francisco radio show. You'll get interviews with the experts in the field of health and nutrition, health news reports, and biting commentary. You'll be alerted when new content is posted, and I promise to be informative and not annoying. Go to the iTunes App Store or Google Play and search for The Vitamin Shelf. The Vitamin Shelf app is free, and it's the only known cure for nutrophobia. Welcome back, everyone. Have a Heart Health Radio. By the way, you know, through our breaks, you'll hear some of the spots, but we do like to hear from you. Now, you can email us at haveaheart@thebright.com. haveaheart@thebright.com. And we do have a toll-free number. It's 844-49-HEART, which is 844-494-3278, 844-49-HEART. And we've got a couple questions. We'll get to those in just a moment. But you're welcome to, you know, comment, or we'll try to get to your questions as quickly as possible. So, Bill, you know, I have a lot of people say they're depressed, and their doctor says they have a chemical imbalance. And that always rubs me the wrong way, because it just sounds like you have a chemical imbalance, so let me give you some chemicals. But I meet a lot of people, and some of them are, you know, using the medication, some aren't, but there seems to be a lot of depression. What's going on?
Depression is inflammation in the brain, and that's why we talk about people getting depressed. About a third of the folks that are clinically or chemically depressed. You may be depressed. You're grieving a loved one has died. You may be depressed over conditions in your home or financially. Those are all depressing things. Maybe you have a child that's disappointing. Those are reasons you're depressed. Don't go reaching for any kind of pill for that. Go to church. Go somewhere. You know, go to prayer. Do something to learn how to deal with that. But if it's clinical, that is, if it's chemical, and we see winter depression when the winter blues, get some vitamin D. If you take real highs, get 50,000 units of vitamin D, and you'll see oftentimes you become clear-headed, your mood tremendously improves. But there's about a third of the folks that are depressed that need B vitamins, folic acid. And we find that inflammation in the brain is really high. And, of course, it's important that you knock down the inflammation. And that's why we talk about our resveratrol pill as well, tremendous anti-inflammatory in the brain and seems to be a natural antidepressant. And in fact, there are drugs called MAO inhibitors, monoamine oxidase inhibitors, and resveratrol, the red wine pill, it's a natural inhibitor of that and therefore would replace those kinds of antidepressants. And so when you're chemically depressed, but the brain, as you get older, is going to be suffering inflammation. And then here comes depression. So all of us, in a way, are probably going to end up on the chemical side of this unless we want to let aging just run over us, just stand on the tracks, and the train will come and run you over, and aging will take its toll. Or we can take vitamins like B vitamins, folic acid, or folate is a better form, natural form. We can make sure that we get enough of the B vitamins in there. This is vitamin B1, thiamine, B12, and so on. We've talked about the incredible shrinking brain. Your brain shrinks as you get older. And so vitamin B12 and fish oil seems to curb that quite a bit. But so there's something we can do. And we do notice that older people get cranky. Walk into nursing homes and places. There's people that have anger and cranky. And this is folic acid driven, the lack of folic acid. We don't absorb B vitamins very well as we get older. You're not going to get enough out of foods. You need to take a supplement. And we do see a lot of cranky folks as they get older. Make sure your loved ones get enough B vitamins. And, David, you know the reasons why. Why don't we get B vitamins? Because we don't absorb them. Talk about ways to fix that.
Well, a couple of things. Even to the point that we do absorb them, they're easily destroyed and denatured. Now, you mentioned B12. B12 is one of the biggest molecules, and your stomach is supposed to produce something called intrinsic factor that you can almost envision it folding up into a smaller thing so it absorbs. So there are better forms of B12 like methylcobalamin or hydroxycobalamin instead of the typical cyanocobalamin. Many B12 pills are under the tongue. This helps a little bit. You know, Bill, there's kind of been a revolution in B vitamins. You and I talk about benfotiamine, the special form of B1. We now have something called pyridoxal-5-phosphate, which is the better form of B6. There's pantothene. You look on some of the better B complex vitamins that you'll find in your health food store, you will see that they're using more absorbable forms of B vitamins. And you know, they're typically in little bits in food anyway. So when you take these higher potencies, it burdens the body somewhat, but that doesn't mean you don't need them.
Okay, David, what's that other question you had?
Oh, yeah. Somebody wrote in. A quick question was they just wondered. They said they thought you had heard that you shouldn't take Longevinex and your multivitamin at the same time. So my question is that true? And second, if it is, which one should you take first?
Well, you're not going to end up in the grave if you do. It's just trying to get the optimal chelating, the mineral chelating or attaching effect to the resveratrol, which is we maintain that as you get older, the reason why aging is accelerated in some people and eventually why we all end up old is because we're calcifying and we're rusting. And the molecules in Longevinex, the red wine pill, chelate or attach to these, and they don't pull iron out of your blood. They don't pull calcium out of your bones. But the loose copper, iron, calcium takes it away so you don't calcify and rust. And that reverses biological aging. And in fact, you do that. Now, if you take vitamin C at the same time as you eat food, some of the molecules that are in our food are calcium and iron and so on. And the ingredients in Longevinex are going to attach or chelate to those. So we absorb less. It's not going to block them all, but it's going to work better. But if we take vitamin C with it, it'll negate it. Now, it doesn't mean it isn't working. It's just not going to work as well. And so I tell people, take your vitamin C, and sometimes, obviously, vitamin C is in multivitamins. So I take my, my resveratrol pill very early in the morning when I first wake up, and then I take my multivitamin an hour or two later with breakfast. But everybody has their own routine. I take vitamin C through the day four or five times. I have it in my car. I have it here at my desk. And I have it, in the kitchen. So I try to keep it around because vitamin C, even the best engineered forms, are going to get washed out over time. And I've talked about this. But nothing wrong with taking your multi and your Longevinex pill together. And I think the second part of that question, wasn't it about should you take the garlic pill, our Garlinex product?
Yeah, here's sort of a multi question involving the Garlinex pill, the Longevinex pill, and high blood pressure. Now, one thing, at the end of the question, Bill, they said, do I need to take both Longevinex and Garlinex? I would just like to say this. With any health issue, what you need is what it takes to work. If you do one thing, just exercise, and your blood pressure goes down, there you go. But if it doesn't, you may need D or magnesium or Garlinex or resveratrol or a number of things. And he does mention, gee, I really prefer capsules over the tablets. You mentioned the tablets are time release. I do just want to add the tablets are fairly small. But then his question is, talk a little bit, Bill, about garlic, hypertension, and why Garlinex is unique among the garlic supplements.
Well, Garlinex does give you the allicin. You'll see that word allicin, the active ingredient, advertised on the front labels of a lot of garlic products. And garlic clove will give you a better chance of getting the real allicin, because you're going to crush it before, and you're going to activate the enzymes in there that make allicin. But garlic powder in garlic pills, the allicin, the enzyme that activates, is going to be negated by your stomach acid. So unlikely you're going to get very much allicin at all. And what the Garlicin pill, Garlinex pill does is give you world's first enzyme-activated buffered garlic capsule. So it's buffered with alkaline minerals to negate the stomach acid, so you still get the allicin produced. And so what do you end up with? Something that really is worth your money and you pay for. By the way, it's a very inexpensive dietary supplement. And so what happens there is we found that garlic allicin then activates a couple of small little gases. Trivial amounts of hydrogen sulfide and nitric oxide gas is produced, and your blood vessels dilate or widen, and that seems to control your blood pressure. If you're taking blood pressure pills, garlic works. You'll see the aged garlic pill. If you take 4 a day, wow, that's a whopper of a regimen. It helps control your blood pressure. But if you had a time-release garlic pill that really produced allicin like Garlinex does, you take 2 a day. And so there's a tablet. It has to be a tablet for the time-release part. Can't be a capsule. And Garlinex is now available in a time-release form as well, so we make people aware. And for a lot of folks, you know, there's no single medicine for high blood pressure that works by itself. They have to give you a beta blocker and a diuretic and a vasodilator and, you know, various drugs.
Yeah, people on 2, 3, 4 drugs sometimes.
So, you know, it's way too many drugs and way too many side effects. So, and by the way, the ACE inhibitor depletes zinc and the beta blocker depletes coenzyme Q10. So you get into all these nutritional imbalances. Best to try a garlic pill, at least to aid your current regimen, and certainly that may be helpful. Is that a good answer?
It's a great answer, and a question that wasn't in the email, but if you think about it, sometimes people will say, well, gee, I'm on this lisinopril or something, and does this supplement interfere? It's garlic, folks. Unless your doctor told you never to touch garlic, and I don't know why the doctor would say that, it's just garlic. So, you know, exercise can lower blood pressure, but exercise is not a blood pressure drug. No doctor would tell you not to exercise. So, yes, it's garlic. You know it. It's part of your diet. But if you get something like this that gives you the allicin, and we've talked about nitric oxide and hydrogen sulfide gases, incredibly important for your health. This is why this simple garlic supplement is so good. Before we run out of time, Bill, for people who want more information or want to order a Garlinex, what do they do?
That's at garlinex.com, but the phone number is 866-674-3955. Remember, Garlinex, you buy 3 bags, a 3-month supply. You get a 4th one free. Shipping is absolutely free. Comes down to about $8.60 a month. Unbelievable. If you order 1-month supply, I think it costs you $10.50, something like that. But you order the 3 bags, 1-month supply, get a 4th one free. That's the least expensive garlic pill on the market and the highest quality. So why not? And for a lot of folks, 866-674-3955. A lot of folks telling us their heartburn, their sinusitis, their belly problems, all kinds of things go away, even some of their blood pressure better control. So, you know, garlic's a wonderful remedy. It would be a prescription drug if they could patent it. Why don't you patent it and make it useful in your life? And we love talking about our sponsors' products because they're unusual. They work, and so many people benefit. And you know, what's not to like about Garlinex? So.
No, exactly. Well, folks, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for the questions. Again, you can leave us any kind of message at toll-free 844-49-HEART, 844-494-3278, or email us at haveaheart at thebright.com. That's T-H-E-B-R-I-G-H-T. Bill, as usual, it's been a pleasure, and we will see all of you very soon. Take care, and thanks for listening.
Bye now.
If you want your health questions answered on the air by Bill Sardi and Dave Stouter, call toll-free 844-49-HEART. That's 844-494-3278. We want to hear from you. 844-49-HEART.